Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm taking over this episode of TFL Talking Cars podcast because I'm in Michigan at the introduction of the new 2025 Ford Explorer, and I wanted to take a deep dive into this new Explorer. It's been refreshed, redesigned, and I have several experts that I'll be talking to. And first, I have Tim. Hey,
hi.
Tim.
Hey, Andre. How's it going?
So can you please introduce yourself briefly?
Yeah, my name's Tim Smith. I've worked at Ford for going on 25 years.
Okay.
I've worked on Explorer during a couple times during that stint. And I also spent a lot of time at the Ford Performance, actually, before I was on Explorer. So kind of broad base of experience there.
So here's the introduction of the 2025 model.
Yep.
We're standing next to an Explorer ST, which is kind of the top of the line of the Explorer line, but it's also the performance model.
Yep,
which I think is kind of up your alley.
Yeah, it was kind of a happy coincidence. Right when I moved from performance to the Explorer program was when we also pivoted to the sixth generation architecture. So north-south engine rear-wheel drive architecture, which really lent itself to doing something a little more exciting in the performance space with the brand. Previously we were front-wheel drive. We did have a sport model that was kind of a hoot to drive, but this let us take it to the next level. And I had just come off doing a couple of the other ST products, so I was very familiar with the DNA, and we were able to roll that into this product. And so, like I said, kind of a happy coincidence, wasn't planned, but it worked out really well.
And a couple of years ago, you were also on Mustang, right?
Yeah, so I joined the Explorer program. It would have been for this platform in about 2016. I was there till partway through 2020. Then I was on the most recent Mustang, helped launch that, get out the door, and then they asked for some help back on Explorer, so here I am again.
All right, well, let's take a look at the profile of this thing, because for the sixth gen, right, when this came out, the wheelbase got a little bit longer, right?
Yeah, so switching to the rear-wheel drive architecture really let us, there's things we could take advantage of there, right? So push the wheels out to both ends, very short front overhang, short rear overhang, got the roof line sloped down. It kind of let us go with that longer nose, more athletic stance that, again, kind of said, hey, we need to do something a little more on the performance variant this, because we can now.
Yeah.
And it looks the part, let's lean into that.
And it's also a little bit more trucky. I mean, I generally, I'm the managing editor of TFL Trucks,
sure.
So I do pickup trucks.
Of course.
So, I mean, rear wheel drive based platform.
Yeah.
I mean, the Explorer, what came out in 1991, right? It was kind of a little bit trucky.
Oh, it's very trucky. We, and I think I mentioned it earlier, my family bought one of those very first ones.
Yeah.
And we moved from a Bronco 2 into the Explorer, which was awesome because as the kid in the family, me and my sister, we could get in the back seat. But it was very much a truck and had that feeling, had those vibes. This is just an evolution of that. And I think having put a lot of miles on that and maybe had some adventures that I've only recently talked to my parents about in that particular car, I can't decide if this would have gotten me in more or less trouble. It's a lot faster, but it also handles it with a lot more grace, I'll say.
And a lot more power, too.
Yeah, a lot more power, but a lot more capability. It's an easy vehicle to drive quickly if that's your passion.
So. Okay. So I just want to mention that, you know, the kind of the phase change for 2025,
absolutely.
So the grill. Did you play around with airflow? Like, how was that affecting the machine?
Yeah, so all of that work, again, when we switched to the newer platform, obviously we do a lot with airflow. I actually spent a lot of time with the studio and with the thermal team figuring out how much airflow we need, how much front end opening, getting the coolers right, all that business. As we move to the new phase, obviously we have all that data, we've had all the experience over the last few years, and it was a question of just making sure we maintain that good work that we did, that we keep the opening we need, we keep the airflow that we need, and don't, you know, go off in a direction that maybe is not perfect. So,
all right.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers, I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your car. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your car, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your car hassle-free and fast, go to tflcar.com and click Sell Your Car in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
So it's there. And also the kind of the side curtain, there's a little bit of a side curtain that you kept.
Just a little bit. Kept that feature as well. Again, it's all about aero and counts in that case. So,
and also efficiency.
Drag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me pop the hood because before we were talking, you mentioned something interesting. The base engine, the 2.3, is actually not the previous one, not the old one, but slightly updated. I wanted to ask you about that as well.
On the 2.3 particularly?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and we can talk to some of my engine buddies if you want more details.
Sure,
but
sure.
We, obviously this is the 3 liter. So,
yeah.
But on the 2.3, we do have a new engine for the 2.3. And I think the first product that we came out with it in was a Mustang that was just released.
Okay.
Internally, we call it the MPC. But it is not the same part at all as what we had previously. Hardware wise, like the Mustang MPC and this one are the same. Now some of the ancillary stuff for hood package, like the airbox and everything, it's fitting in a different package, but it's the same 2.3 unit. And you'll see that proliferate through the rest of our products that use the 2.3 as well.
So I was looking also at the EPA numbers, right? For the 2.3 Explorer.
Okay.
So that's the base engine in the active trim.
Yep.
And 29 mpg highway, I mean, it's pretty good. And it's actually a little bit better, I think, where it's the older engine was.
Yeah, so it's exactly. And you know, right, we're in this environment right now where there's a lot of pressure, you know, for fuel economy, for CO2, for emissions, mm-hmm. all that. And so we need to keep up with that constantly. And our objective has been to do that without taking anything away from the customer in terms of performance or feel or experience. And that's a lot of work, right? And that's another reason why we're commonizing these engine platforms, because obviously an engine is a very expensive commodity to develop. It takes a lot of work, takes a lot of time, takes a lot of people. So we're trying to be really smart about how we allocate those resources, get engines that meet all the requirements, still give the customer everything that they love, mm-hmm. and not have to sacrifice.
So that engine is 300 horsepower,
mm-hmm.
and this is 400 horsepower.
This is 400 horsepower.
We're looking now under the hood of the twin turbo 3 liter V6, but those power ratings are at premium fuel levels, correct?
Correct.
So that's 91 or above.
91 or above.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you're blessed to be east of the Mississippi, you get 93. So even better.
But what if you don't want to spend the money for 91?
Yeah, they
or
all.
93.
All of these vehicles run perfectly fine and very nicely on 87 as well. So it's really just a choice. You know, with more octane, there's things we can take advantage of to get a little more power. So we're going to do that, especially on a variant like an ST, right? Or in the case of a Mustang, and especially with turbo engines, there's something to be had there. So that's not something we want to leave on the table. At the same time, we don't want, you know, I think, golly, when was it? I remember back in the 90s, there would be cars that were premium fuel only. Like my kid's first car was a SVT Focus,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And just the state of the technology, the calibrations we had, everything. I warned them, do not put 87 in this car, kids, right?
Yeah.
That's not a problem anymore. Whatever you put in there, it's going
to
run.
So the engine adapts
great.
To it whatever adapts. It's doing.
So it's kind of a have your cake and eat it too.
But
situation.
Is it a big penalty in power?
Or no, it's
just kind of a small difference.
It may be 5%, you know, and shape of the curve sometimes get a little different depending on the variant we're talking about. But it's honestly on the day-to-day, most people are going to be totally happy on 87. And, you know, if you're, you know, 1% enthusiast, or you're going to the grudge night on Wednesday night at a local drag strip or whatever, put in the 93 and have at it, or 91 if you're out west.
Yeah, I think in 91, not many people took Explorers to the drag strip.
No.
But now I think you kind of can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The all-wheel drive makes it, you know, you get out of the hole phenomenally well.
Yeah.
And I think, let me think for a second. I think our 91 had 160 horsepower. So
less than half.
Yeah. So it was a very different proposition back then.
Yeah. Let's walk a little bit further towards the back, because I wanted to talk to you about a little bit of towing capability as well.
Right.
But let's finish up with the powertrain as far as hybrid is concerned. So the hybrid Explorer came out in 2020, right?
Yep.
That was sixth generation. But now you're only offering that on fleets, correct?
Correct. And
so what's the... Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, and the biggest part of the fleets that are getting that are our police customers,
okay.
Right? So... just like everything in life, resources are finite, right? And our police customers love the hybrid. And if you think about their use cycle, it makes total sense, right?
Because they're idling a lot, yeah.
You know, so they can be sit there not burning gas, still have all their electronics on, doing what they need to do to serve their customers and communities. And they're essentially, they're taking all the volume that we've got on the hybrid. On the flip side, on the retail side, we offered it. You know, it was a very capable, I would say what we were going after was full SUV capability with our hybrid play.
Mm-hmm.
And our customers, it was good. They liked it, but the takes were pretty low. So it was like, all right, let's focus on our police customers.
Because they really
want
it.
They can take all of our volume. Everything we can make, they can use, and they're very happy with it. So again, kind of what we were talking about before, we're kind of in this mode where we're not necessarily competing with our customers as much as we're looking at what does our competitors, but we're looking at our customers specifically, what do they want, and going with their
and
point
focusing.
Of view.
Well, let's look at the hitch in the back and continue this conversation, because towing, like I said, I come from pickup truck.
Of course.
Kind of focus.
Towing's all about.
So I love that, right?
Yep.
But all of them come with a hitch now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we made towing standard for 2025. Every Explorer gets the hitch. Tow capacity across the board is 5,000 pounds. And if you're paying attention to the details, you may recall when we came out in 2020.
Yeah, it was a little bit higher.
It was a little bit higher.
Okay.
And it was a little different depending on trim series and power pack. I think we had a 5,300, a 5,600. And then the platform stable mate, the Aviator, went even higher. All those numbers were based on capability, clearly. We baked it in. But we were looking at the competitors, seeing what they did,
right.
You know, kind of getting into that game of trying to match or just beat people. And as we're looking to simplify everything, not take such a big competitor viewpoint, but more of a real customer viewpoint. And we know this customer very well. We talk to them a lot. We watch what they're doing a lot.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We kind of all realize, you know, 5,000 is a sweet spot for this customer. If people are doing much more than that.
Well, expedition
or
something.
Truck,
else.
Or they're getting an expedition.
Okay.
You know, or a pickup truck. And if you overspec that, you know, that comes with a penalty. And if it's a penalty that the customer is not getting something they value for, you're kind of like, mm-hmm. Well, why are we doing that? Let's not do that. Let's focus in and kind of hit a sweet spot that really works for them, and spend that time and effort and money and resources on a different part of the vehicle that they're going to value more and get more use out of. So that was the thinking behind it. It kind of simplifies it. It's across the board, you get the 5K. And if you're not towing, you've got the hitch, which is awesome for bike racks, luggage, you know, bins, whatever you want to do. So there's lots of utility with the bike, with the hitch.
And there's wiring here, 7
Absolutely,
pin and
7
pin.
And 4. So I think that varies by state. In Michigan, over 3,000 or over, you need brakes. So that would put you on the 7 pin. You can buy a lot of trailers around here that are rated for $29.90. They don't have brakes.
Yeah,
and then the same exact trailer, they throw brakes on, all of a sudden it's rated to 5,000 pounds. Go figure.
But you would have to add a brake controller, right?
If you have brakes, and you add an aftermarket brake controller.
Okay.
And we have them as well as an accessory.
Sounds good. And kind of the rear fascia changed a little bit too, but not a lot.
Styling updates. You know, we've got the light bar across the back now, which is kind of a signature feature. Obviously, the ST, you get the quad tip exhaust, which is always sharp.
But I love how they dump actually lower. It's kind of a trick.
Yeah, it's
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool
because they're there and they're, you know, they're shiny.
Right, right.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I would say they're. Yeah, I don't know what to say.
It's just there.
There's there's lots of reasons for airflow and all these kinds of, and all the different requirements we have to meet. So this was a way to do it where, and for us, this felt way more authentic than like doing a chrome trim bezel.
Yeah, with
and,
nothing behind it.
And having the actual exhaust up there, you know.
Yeah.
So that is always a struggle, and me being on the engineering side especially, and coming from my background, we always, we really want to do authentic things.
Mm-hmm.
And, so this was the best way we thought we could do that.
And also, I love the wheels.
Yeah. So
this is, we're looking at the 21.
Yep.
And this reminds me, I was trying to figure out what this wheel reminds me of.
Oh.
It's like older SVT vehicles, maybe.
Maybe. I think, you know, we're at this point in history where there's a lot of history to draw from.
Yeah.
And our designers are awesome. I haven't talked to the individual who did this wheel particularly, so I don't know what their inspiration
was. But it has
was.
That hint of like old, you know, previous Ford performance
like
vehicles.
You know, it's hard to go wrong with a variation on a five spoke.
Yeah.
It's just always looks classy.
And what about tire choices? You have several tires, right? I mean, this is a Scorpion.
Yep. So
Scorpion Zero.
Yep. And so this is the preferred tire for the ST. Only all season, no summer tire option. We did have that one at one point, but again, in the spirit of meeting our customers where they are, not too many people pick that option, even in our southern markets.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, all right, let's just focus on what they're buying, get that tuned really well, and that's what we did.
So this is the all season Pirelli Scorpion.
Sporty side of all season, but still an all season tire. So
and other trim levels get different tire choices
absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Different brands.
This is an option on the ST line, which has a lot of the look of the ST, but just with the 2.3 engine. The brakes, obviously, these brakes are optional ST line, but standard on this. And the brakes are something that also came out of our the fact that we have the police unit. They obviously have some pretty intense requirements.
For brakes.
The platform itself, and then also the fact that we have the police unit really was a benefit to the ST program, because when that was originally being developed, we could go to the track with the police guys. Hey, we've got cop brakes. We can take all the things we learned about cooling management on the track to meet the police requirements. We could roll into this product as needed. So it really that synergy there between the platform, having the police, having some people who kind of were into performance, really let us lean into that with the ST in particular.
Cool. And last thing I wanted to talk to you about before I'm going to talk to somebody else about the design of the interior.
Oh, absolutely.
Drive modes.
Drive modes.
Because you have several of them.
Right.
You have normal, sport, towing, eco. Slippery.
Slippery and off-road.
Sweet. Yeah. What's your approach? I mean, are there big differences between these different drive modes?
Yeah. I think if... you'll be able to feel it if you go out.
Uh-huh.
But again, the idea, especially, so again, this product in particular, right? So let's talk about off-road just to like focus on one. This is the person off-roading in this. It's kind of, they're getting to their destination, right?
They're not crawling over boulders.
It's not a Raptor, right?
Okay.
They're not desert racing. It's not a Bronco. They're not going to Moab. They might take this to Moab and go in and watch their buddies, right? Or whatever, but not
to the trail camping
exactly.
or something, right?
So, and again, back to what I said before, this is all about kind of meeting the particular customer for a segment where they're at. So with this, the off-road, it's, you put it in the mode and you don't have to think about it, right? It does everything you need to do. It's changing the all-wheel drive calibration. It's changing the traction control calibration. It's changing the transmission calibration, the brake controls, the driver demand. And it just, it's almost an easy button, right? It just makes it so that, I'll say the casual user can put it in. They don't have to worry. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to think, do I do four low? Oh, do I disconnect a stay button? None of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's sort of delivering what is going to work best for the person we're targeting with this. And then all the other modes work the same, right? And just like you think, like if you're out on an icy road, what do I do? Just put it in slippery. You don't have to think about it, right? Just, and the truck will take care of you.
And then towing, like for example, helps with slowing down.
Absolutely, yeah.
On grades and
absolutely.
Stuff like
just
that.
Just all the same kind of stuff that you've probably experienced a million times in pickups and everything.
Yeah.
Which is favorite. I love tow haul mode, by the way. I'm a big fan.
And you can sense it, like in mountainous terrain, right?
When we first started developing it, the first time I used it, I was like, "This is great." So it's something we're pretty proud of.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for coming out. We appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy your drive.
All right, let's get inside the new 2025 Explorer. And Dustin, nice to meet you.
Yeah, pleasure.
Yes.
Thanks for being here.
Can you introduce yourself briefly?
Yeah, so I'm Dustin Shadlarsky, chief designer for Ford Motor Company.
Nice. So you worked on primarily the interior of this.
Right. I was responsible for the whole interior. Yeah.
Okay. So I have it idling. We have air conditioning, which is pretty nice. So tell me, I mean, you did a lot of work here basically in the front dash area and kind of the front seat area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we really were able to redesign the whole front space. So we did a lot of customer research. You know, we had an outgoing product to come from. And kind of got a lot of lessons learned there. What was good, what was bad, what could we improve on? And kind of went off. So some of the big areas is you're touching the technology. It's a big deal now.
And this 13-inch screen.
13.2 inch, uh-huh. Showcasing our new Ford digital experience. So we knew that was going to be a major attraction on this interior. So really started here of, okay, we have this larger screen. You know, ergonomics, reachability, the vision of it, that really sets up where it's at.
And it's quite different from where it was, right? Before, it was a vertical orientation, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Now it's a horizontal landscape orientation.
Exactly. So you can see here the different tiles, allows a different layout proportion of what you want there. And the landscape really helps that, as well as just accentuate the width of the vehicle, too. Some of the things we, from a philosophy standpoint, you know, this being the centerpiece, we kind of looked at people's living rooms. And, you know, in your living room, your flat screen TV is that focal point of the room. Mm-hmm. And we kind of did the same thing here of, okay, we started with that. We got the flat screen TV. And then audio-wise, we've got this, you know, great fabric-wrapped sound bar. It's fabric on all options. This is showing the B&O audio system on the Platinum. And again, that shows that width too, taking the landscape screen and just keep stretching everything from side to side just to show how large the space is.
Yeah, I instantly noticed the sound bar because it's kind of unique. You don't see that normally, mm-hmm. right? So I think I noticed it immediately. And like you said, it exists in all the iterations.
Yep.
And we're sitting, like you mentioned, in the Platinum. So this is one of the nicest interiors in the Explorer lineup as far as kind of
luxury. And this is the luxury package as well. So you got all the quilting and the perforation on the seats and the doors as part of the upgrade of the package.
And this special color choice as well here.
Yep, this is a new color for Platinum. We call it the Salt Crystal Flats Gray. You know, inspired by the salt flats out west.
Yeah.
So that beautiful, you know, kind of cool gray light color, and with the contrast of the dark environment, really gives a premium look.
Yeah, and also kind of brings some light. I mean, we do have a panoramic sunroof here, but like the lighter materials are kind of breaks up the dark interior.
For sure, it's not a sea of black.
Yeah,
right?
And leather wrapped steering wheel. This one is also comes with Blue Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
The upper trim levels do, and I can notice this kind of on top of the steering wheel is kind of the camera that's monitoring
the sensors. Yep, make sure you're paying attention.
So then you moved. Is this for the device kind of storage area here?
Yeah, it was a big feature in this. You know. Beyond the digital side, just from what customers bring into the vehicle. Cups are always the biggest thing. Who can have the most cup holders in your vehicle?
We have it here.
We have it there, and phones typically end up in the cup holder.
I've done that.
Yep.
Yes.
So we wanted to make sure, you know, phones are such a premium device now, right? You're spending $1,000 on it, and then you toss it in a cup holder. We wanted to give it a credible place to go. So we've integrated this area here for two phones. This one also has wireless charging integrated into it. And it's just a perfect area. Again, ergonomics, you reach out, it's right there.
Yeah.
Put your phone there, or if it's a wallet, headphones, any small items, it's a great little drop zone, easy to grab in and out of the vehicle. And really the instrument panel presents it to you. So what we wanted to feel is it's that important that it's integrated into everything and then wrapped with all this nice vinyl and stitching. So anything you're reaching out and touching on all sides of you is soft and wrapped on all series.
Yeah,
so it's another area we really wanted to uplift the interior, feel more premium.
And did you do a lot of work like on the rear, on the third row, or is it a lot of the same dimensions? Dimensions are very similar, right?
Dimensions similar. We do have added USBs, so there's a USB for every row and basically every occupant in the vehicle. So that was another thing on the technology, just making sure all your devices can always be charged and ready to go.
And I noticed like the stereo system, I mean, this is a B&O system, but I can see speakers in like in the rear pillars. Mm-hmm. There's speakers in the doors, of course. So yeah, I obviously we can't show the audio experience, right? It's hard to do it on camera, but it seems like you paid attention to that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, every seat has got its own amenities, right? No one's getting shortchanged on anything.
Environment, and there's captain chairs or a bench in the middle as
correct.
Well.
Yeah.
I also like the HVAC controls here for the second row as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they existed before, but it's a really nice option, you know, heated rear seats as well.
Yeah, and even surface-wise, we adjusted everything so they're presented more to the customer. So, you know, sort of lifted up a little bit, easier to see, easier to reach.
So it's not super vertical.
Right. Man. Extra cup holders in the bottom, cup holders in the door.
Oh, yeah.
Juice box space for the rear seat. It just flips down.
Hold on, I can't reach it. Can you reach it? Oh, there it goes. So in the center console for the second row, there's extra cup holders down there. Cool. I wanted to show some Easter eggs. Can we...
We have a couple of those.
Walk around.
I mean, and just one thing I want to touch on was ambient lighting is new. Can't see it here today, but again, this form that was, you know, integrating into all these new features. We've got lighting that flows all the way through there and around and across. So great, it gives a great ambient glow at night. Also gives light functionality into, you know, this open storage area that you can do, or you know, down underneath for your closed storage. And in the doors as well, underneath this silver detail here, more lighting to cast down onto your door pulls and your window switches, adding more functionality and value there.
And then the front passenger, Explorer spelled out. I think that's, you know, nicely done. It's not huge letters, right?
Yeah, we didn't want to do big badges stuck everywhere, so just something subtle integrated in, but then still showing that value and the importance of the brand. And it helps create some of the definition through the sectioning. We wanted to give you that sense of space as well. So some of this undulation coming through really makes it feel like things are pushed farther away and there's just more space.
All right. We'll focus on the digital experience a little bit later, but let's walk around a little bit and show some of the Easter eggs. This is basically a refresh on the sixth generation. So I would say this is like 6.5. Let me shut off the lights. So on the driver's side here by the dash on the side, this is Detroit. And it says Explorer established 1991, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Yeah, again, celebrating the brand. It's one of the longest running SUV nameplates out there, right? So we just wanted to let people know that, you know, this has been around for quite a while. The Detroit skyline there, that's something we've done on a couple products now. And that's just something to help celebrate, you know, where the vehicle has been designed and developed and showcase that area of some of the key iconic landmarks, the train station, the fist of Joe Louis and everything in the city, and just show that we're proud of where that came from.
All right, now let's walk around to the passenger side. There's more stuff going on here. Oh, by the way, in the windscreen, there's also a little Explorer.
Yeah, it's a fun silhouette of the exterior.
Right there in the windshield.
Integrated into the blackout of the paint.
All right, now a little bit more going on here.
Yeah, so on this side, we're showcasing Chicago. So the Chicago skyline from the south side of the city, not from the waterfront, so we can get in some more of the landmarks, and it's also more of the viewpoint from the assembly plant. So this is just a shout out to all the assembly workers putting this vehicle together. You know, they're super proud as well to be assembling this. It's been in Chicago for, I think, its entire lifetime.
Yeah.
It's been a really long-running vehicle in that plant. And then they're super excited to be able to see that we're thinking about them and giving them a shout out as well.
That's really special. Yeah, and made in the USA. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the generational Easter egg right here down below. So that's showing the five previous generations.
Correct. Yep, going from Gen 1 and walking through the different levels there.
And you and I were speaking last night. The first generation on the left, you have an Easter egg inside an Easter egg.
So yeah, we wanted to have fun with that one, adding a couple extra accessories, I guess, to the exterior of the vehicle.
Yeah, I zoomed in on it, I looked at it, and it looks like a Jurassic Park Explorer to me.
It does kind of look like that.
But we'll have to let people decide for themselves, right? And is this also, does this light up?
That does light up.
So the Explorer door sill, kind of a nice touch.
Yeah, it's a great greeting when you open the door at night. That with the ambient lighting through the interior really creates a great mood.
And we'll just show the rear seats just really briefly. And like you said, dimensionally, it didn't change much. So
no,
that's kind of what it was before.
But again, we added more detail, the quilting, the patterning of the seat. Everything looks a bit more high-end, more sophisticated, more detail to it. Of course, you got the armrests that can go up and down, easy to get walk through to the third row.
And yeah, and this, you can push this button, right? Hold on, be careful. And this scooches forward so you can access.
Easy entry into the third row.
Yeah. All right, well, I really appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for spending the time with us.
Okay. Thanks for coming out.
Well, now I want to take a deeper dive into the digital experience, and it's called Ford Digital Experience, right?
That's right.
And Alex, thanks for joining me.
Good to meet you.
So you kind of been working on this, on the system for the new Explorer.
Yes.
And it's available in other Ford vehicles now, or is this the first iteration?
This is the very first iteration of the Ford Digital Experience in the Ford portfolio of vehicles.
So this is pretty exciting then.
It's very exciting.
All right, so we have the 13.2 inch screen here that we showed before, but now I kind of want to dig in and kind of talk a little bit more into about it, and also show some of the additional things, like you can have a conference call.
That's right.
Video conference call here.
That's right, yeah. So we've recently launched the WebEx application, which allows customers who use WebEx for video meetings, for their contacts, even potentially for messaging as well, to have meetings when they're both driving and stationary. When you're stationary, you can actually have video calls that come in through the center screen, which is really cool. You can see your participants' videos. As well as whatever they're presenting to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're driving as well, you can actually go out on the road. You won't have video there for safety reasons, but yeah, you will have the ability to mute and unmute really easily. And it's a really immersive experience. There's something really great about having all the speakers in the car use this so that you really feel like you're in the meeting.
That's quite interesting. So you're kind of combining those elements. But let's start just kind of with the basic functions and the tiles and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So the Ford Digital Experience is an entirely new platform for our Ford vehicles, too. So as I said, the Explorer is the first vehicle on this platform. It's a really substantial shift forward, too. It provides a lot of new functionality. It's around 5 times faster than our previous generations. And it's really intuitive, too. So if you're a customer and you're really used to using mobile devices, whether Google or Apple, this is going to feel really natural, and it's going to feel like something you've used before. There's a lot of settings that are very easy to use. You've got your vehicle up there. You can click through to find what you want. You've got ambient lighting, seat controls, vehicle status. And it's very quick, too. It's very, very quick touchscreen, too.
Yeah, so right now I'm in ambient lighting section. I was actually talking to Dustin. Mm-hmm. He mentioned kind of where the lights are located.
Yep.
So and you can control, like, the brightness and also the color.
It's a nice customization, yeah. It's something that we think is important for our customers to be able to create the in-vehicle experience they want. And Dustin and his design team has done a fantastic job in creating a really kind of luxurious feel for our Explorers.
So there's a little vehicle icon on the left here, and there's a home, and there's also the app location.
Yep. We call that our app library here.
Okay.
And the app library is interesting, too. If you click on that, it functions in many ways much like a mobile device and also like a tablet, too. So if you have an iPad or you have an Amazon Fire tablet, this is going to work really similar, too. You can actually click and drag on the icons, too, to move them around. So if you find after a couple of weeks of being in the vehicle that you'd rather have YouTube higher up, or you'd rather have Alexa
or your Sirius radio in a different place.
You can
put
it in a different place so it's accessible. Of course, we put kind of these core features that we think are important for our customers up near the top, which are Maps, Play Store, and Assistant. And the Maps, this is a really great transition to this, is that it's this embedded navigation that is going to feel really natural, and it's going to show up in the cluster as well. And as you drive, it's just a really seamless experience. And as you sign into your Google account, what you'll be able to do is actually have all your saved favorites, your history, all the places you often go. So if you're used to getting in the car and having to finagle with your phone to get to home or work or wherever, that will all be available as long as you're signed in.
But of course, you can also pair your phone as
you
well.
Can.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the Ford
digital. So there's like both combinations of features. I think
it's about choice and customization here.
Sure.
With the Ford digital experience, we're also offering CarPlay and Android Auto as well, and that's wireless. You can have projection still if you want it. If you're used to using those features and you've got CarPlay here and Android Auto right there, if you're used to using your phone or you're trying to do a phone call that you want to do through your phone, and you think that's important. You can still do it. It's about choice for the customers.
Yeah, and I can see, for example, towing features. You can add a trailer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I come from a pickup truck.
Sure.
I'm focused on that usually, so that's I'm familiar with this feature, yep. So that's pretty nice.
I think if you come from our F-150 family of vehicles, that's going to feel very natural as well.
We could watch YouTube when stationary, right?
When stationary, that's right.
All right, so there's TFL Car Channel. This is where, you know, I'm from, so we can watch, for example, a Mustang doing a drag race.
That's right.
We can do that too.
Yeah, and I think our thought process on the videos and on what we're offering here and what Google's offering too is these are nice things to do for a few minutes here. They're nice things to do when you're getting gas, when you are stopping to get groceries, and somebody's in the car while somebody else is elsewhere. We don't necessarily envision a world where people are spending maybe hours in their vehicle, but instead as a nice thing to do to unwind for a second and actually disconnect from a device that you normally would use for that, maybe your phone or a tablet, and say, what can the car offer? And one of the nice things about the way in which the screen is structured here is you can actually see it really well from the back seat as well. It's very high up, so it's sort of a whole cabin kind of experience. And I know certainly my kids love to be in the back seat watching PBS Kids on here, mm-hmm. Watching YouTube videos. It's a really fun way to actually connect everyone in the vehicle and create a bit of a kind of immersive home, living room, theater type of experience.
Yeah, I think it's important being able to drag different icons around too, because like everybody's different. Everybody prioritizes a different feature differently, potentially.
I think that's exactly right. And I think giving the customer the choice to do what they want and to put the apps and the icons where they want and fill out the screen as much as they want, this is just like your phone. You can download an app. If you've used it for 10 minutes and said, you know, that wasn't for me, you can delete it. Very, very simple.
And you can also sort the menu.
You can sort it. There's a lot of customization here within the actual app library here. And here's kind of the system side of things here. And if you say, hey, look, I'm having an issue or I want to delete that app, you simply go in, either force stop it, uninstall it. And you can see your memory here as well. So it's device management too. You can really control what you want to have on your car and get rid of the things you don't want to have.
Is there games too?
There are games.
Yeah.
So we offer Asphalt Nitro 2, a version of Asphalt Nitro 2 that's built for Ford with our partners over at GameLoft.
Mm-hmm.
That is for our customers. And we launched earlier this year, had some really great responses from customers. The nice thing about this is we actually can play via the screen or a controller. And it offers that level of customization. The touch screen I actually enjoy almost more than the controller because it's really simple. And I can show my kids how it works here. So if you go into a quick race here, and of course we have the Ford Shelby GT350R.
Okay.
Well. So that was very important for us to have right up at the front here.
Right.
We have all kinds of other cars as well.
Okay.
You can certainly choose from. And as you race, this is a totally unlocked version, so it's free to our customers.
Okay.
There's no payment here. As you race, you'll unlock other cars. Doesn't take that much to unlock other cars too. So you can play that. And I think that the graphics are actually really quite strong here and quite nice. And you can see a variety of cars on here. Here's our GT350R. There's only a couple of motions and movements too here. There's, you know, the Nitro, you can choose different pathways here. But the nice thing about it is it's actually very intuitive and simple. And with the idea that this race is only gonna last maybe
a minute, a couple minutes, few minutes?
2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a really nice feature to have. And one of the funny stories that I have is I have, you know, two of these vehicles. I have the test one, and then I have my own personal Explorer. And my daughter, who's seen this game, always gets into my personal Explorer, which doesn't have this, and says, I want to play the cars. I want to use the cars.
Yeah, where's that?
Where's the cars? So it's a really nice little fun feature for people to do every so often. And kind of enjoy some downtime with family and friends.
That's interesting. How do I get out?
How to get out is just to swipe like you would anywhere else, and you can just click back in your app library, and you'll be out of the app.
So like a personal device.
Exactly,
I mean, it's very,
pretty native. I'm not sure what the road travel is, but it's kind of like you can custom, you can download apps, like you said, or whatever.
And road.travel is one we've just launched, actually in the last week or so. So this is brand new. This is a collaboration between a company that's based in Europe, road.travel, and Ford. This version is for Ford. Road.travel has other versions out there for other car companies, but this version is just for us, totally unlocked, all free. What it does is it takes your location of your vehicle, looks for where you are, and then it looks for where to find a road trip around you. And so it's taking a second to find our location.
It's searching,
It's searching for our location. It just found out that we're here on the west side of Ann Arbor near Chelsea. And it's found this nearby trip for us, from farms to forests, a scenic road trip near Ann Arbor. Of course, there's other ones as well. And there's quite a few around the Michigan area. We've actually had some of these built specifically for us. So this first one is specifically for Ford customers.
Okay.
We know there are a lot of Ford customers in this area. We think that's important. There'll be a couple of others as well for our customers as well that we'll come out with. And what it's going to do here is it's going to bring up the content in a second here, and it's going to say, hey, here's an overview. Here is, the different points along the way. So farms near Rebel Run, the preserve, some woods, Pinckney Recreation Area. These are individual points of interest. And what happens is once you decide, hey, this is a good one, I want to use this, you can hit continue road trip. What it will do is it will send each of those points to Google Maps. And as you drive through those points in Google Maps, we're entirely in Google Maps now, mm-hmm. as long as the app is open, the audio points will actually play, and they'll play stories. And so what I think is really interesting is, I live somewhere over in this direction over here, and point two or point three, I can't remember which one, is in Dexter. And I've been in Dexter a million times. And there was a story about a house there that I had passed by dozens of times. I had no idea what it was, and it told me all about it. Super compelling, interesting story. It goes back to the idea of connecting with people in the vehicle and understanding, you know, that you want to be connected to them. It's a really nice family activity for road trips, but also for just weekend drives.
That's really interesting. Like, I can see, like, I recently did a family trip and we rented the vehicle in a place we've never been to. We went to Wisconsin, for example.
Yep.
Something like this would be really great. You could learn about the new city, new countryside.
It's fascinating. We see it in a couple of different ways. There's aspirational travelers, people who want to do things and want to get out there and travel to places, New Zealand, and this is a global app. It's got stories all over the world. And they use this to give them inspiration. They may never go, but they want to use it to say, this is what it would be like to explore that world. We see it for people who are weekend drivers, who are in their area, and they've passed by a point, by a highway, and they've done it a million times, and they have no idea what that thing is, and then they click on it and say, oh, okay, and then they learn a little bit more about their area. And then there's the story, you know, you just gave here, which is about actually going out there into the world of places you've never been to, and exploring that portion of the world.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of comments, I guess I would say. Usually people mention about HVAC controls being digital versus non-digital.
Mm-hmm.
And in this system, it is digital.
It is digital.
So did you guys consider different options
there? I think so. I think it's, you know, it's very much a learning process with a lot of this stuff here. We have moved to a more digital ecosystem here. We've gotten customer feedback, I think, in, you know, a variety of directions. But a lot of it has been positive, too. You're seeing the massage seats right now, which, of course, are very nice.
Sorry, it's noisy also.
No, it is. It's a little bit, but it is a nice feature to have, I will say. And I think, you know, I think our idea here is that we're trying to keep things very simplified on one area. You notice that it's a little bit, as I think Dustin maybe has talked about, a little bit of a cleaner surface area here to put the digital controls up there. But we're always in a very, we always want to learn what our customers want and what they're saying. So we're going to keep listening and keep learning what's important for us in the space around digital controls.
I think it's interesting because, like, this bar below the screen is a little bit out, and I can kind of put my finger and steady myself. You know, usually when you're jostling, driving around, but I can actually see myself kind of steadying myself. So that helps.
I agree. And I think it is a nice way to rest your hand and be able to pick the surfaces. And there is actually a fairly significant gap here between where most of the screen's going to be and the digital controls as well. Like anything, it will take a little bit of time for folks to get into this, but the learning curve on this compared to some past vehicles is very low because of the way that the app ecosystem is set up. And these are really all just apps that you can have access to, and you'll be very very used to it, even if you are an Apple user.
Yeah, and also I get into new vehicles all the time. You know, I review new vehicles, and when I first this morning when I got into this new Explorer, I didn't have to ask like, "Where's my heated seat?" Is I actually saw it. It was on the screen, right? And my heated steering wheel.
Yep.
Because sometimes I have to look around. You know, on my left, on my right, down below. You know, I didn't have to do that, which is actually pretty nice.
I think that the standardization. One of the things that was talked about inside is that we are really rolling out the exact same experience to people on the digital side here. There'll be differences certainly in the vehicle, the engine, other areas as well, in the trims. But here, we want the experience to be mostly the same. If you're in an Active, if you're in an ST Line, an ST, or a Platinum, you're going to have the same experience so that if you are going between family members who have different vehicles, it does feel the same.
Yeah, and the screen and this feature is available in every trim.
Yes.
That's really important.
Yeah, the complexity, we don't want to make things more complex here. We want to make customers feel very at home in their digital experience so that it becomes something that's just second nature to them to use.
But wait, there's more. Because you mentioned Google several times, right?
Yes.
The system is integrated with Google. So can I do things like this? Let me try something. Hey, Google, tell me a joke.
What did the vinaigrette say to the refrigerator? Close the door. I'm dressing.
Wow. I'm good. I'm really happy about dad jokes. I'm a dad also.
That was a level of a joke that was really high quality. But you're right. So we do have all these interesting kind of Google.
But you could do more useful things.
You can do more useful
things. Show me an example.
Sure. Hey, Google. Set car temperature to 68 degrees.
All right. Changing the temperature to 68 degrees.
So we have these things that work sort of inside the vehicle as well, controlling the vehicle systems that are really nice to do if you're really focusing on the road or you're in the back seat and the car's stationary, which are really nice. And then there's the connected features too. You can ask Google to tell you about the weather. You can ask it to do different things, sports scores. And we also have Amazon Alexa as well. So for folks who are in that ecosystem, they can continue to use Amazon Alexa as they have in the past. Google, of course, does shine through here, I would say. So we do have the assistant, and we also have the Play Store too. And the Play Store is, for those that have used the Play Store in the past, is a really good ecosystem. As you sign into the Play Store and you have access to that, you're going to have access to all of your apps that you would want on the Android Automotive Operating System. And there's special apps, obviously, that we're releasing as well. So we have all these sorts of things coming from Google that we think are really important. And then we have apps and experiences that we're going to keep launching as well to our customers.
Yeah, that's really cool. And also, like, for example, you can select radio stations using the assistant.
That's
so
right.
You don't have to take your hands off the wheel if you don't want to.
That's right.
You can do that.
It's a really nice way to continue to use voice and continue to learn. And I think this version of our intelligent digital assistant, both the choice to use Alexa and Alexa, by the way, also does have full control of the vehicle as well. So both Alexa and Google gives customers choice. And also it's probably one of our best digital assistants yet.
And also, you know, previous systems, you know, I've been around the industry for, 13 years? Mm-hmm. You have to, like, train the system to your voice or the way you speak, or you can only say certain things and you cannot say other things. This is a lot more natural now.
You'll notice that you and I both were able to do it very quickly.
Yeah, and
there
also,
was no voice,
that was the first time we did it, too. So it's not like we trained the system to do something.
Yeah, it's a really great system. Our digital assistant team has been working really hard at this for a long time, and I think the results are really showing through here.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, well, I hope you learned more about the new 2025 Explorer than ever before. I did learn a few things, and you're probably wondering also about pricing, so I wanted to include that at the end. So the 2025 Ford Explorer lineup is available now. I talked to our local dealer in Colorado, and they have several on the way already. And the pricing will start, it's right under $40,000 before destination charges, but destination is $1,595, so about $1,600. So with that, you'll be around $41,500 for an active two-wheel drive new Explorer. This Platinum you see here, this is the one we were using for the interior
portion of this podcast. This is about $60,000 the way you see it here. Even with the panoramic sunroof, the wheels, all the interior features that we talked about, and all the materials and the optional features as well. So that's about $60,000. There's also the Ford Explorer ST that we started with. That one starts at around $56,000. So actually for the ST, the price remains about the same as before, but the base price may be a little bit higher, but it's really matching where the competition is. If I look at the pricing of the Honda Pilot, for example, the Toyota Highlander, the Grand Highlander, those start at about $40,000 as well. And of course, they move up and up and up. There's a couple competitors that start lower. Kia Telluride starts at a lower price. Chevy Traverse starts at a slightly lower price as well. So there's plenty of choice out there. And Ford Explorer has been very successful over the last, 33 plus years. And it looks like it'll continue to be. So let me know what you think in the comments below. I want to thank Roman and Tommy and Nathan for letting me hijack another episode of Car Talk. And I'll see you also on TFL Talking Trucks and everything else at oldtfl.com. Thank you.
Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments, along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.